Thank you.
Could not give me permission. So that's what Tim was sharing. Because all these days you have been preaching, maybe Lord thought one day, why don't your wife preaches to this church? So she did a great job. I saw on the YouTube, it was good. And then I thought, is this Sunday, am I preaching or she is preaching? Then finally I thought they were looking towards me. Then I thought, let me share some word. And thank you so much, Alan, for letting me in to preach in the house. It's such a honor and a privilege to be a part of Grace Fellowship for more than 15 years, almost around 20 years, if I'm right. And it's such a joy to see, you know, the vision of Grace Fellowship, the way it is being transformed and what is going to come to this church is so exciting. How many of you believe that the best is yet to come? The best is yet to come. And how many of you believe that we are in a process? We are in a process to become perfect. So that is God's order for us. So this COVID has really taken a toll of our nation. Same thing with you, I believe. It was such a tough time and we could not go out. We could not, anybody, we look people with a great suspicion. Like if somebody is coughing, you are scared. Somebody is sneezing, you want to run away from them. And yesterday, Tim was driving me. That guy was having some cough and some sneezing and all. I was sitting by his side. I said, Lord, thank God it is not COVID time. Otherwise, I would have jumped out of the car and run away from there. So he could not make it because I think he was not keeping well. So we had a great time. So the COVID, actually, we both were left out because when you have kids, they grow up, they get married, and they go out. That's the pattern. So we two were left out. My wife said, we struck a deal. My wife said, I cook, you wash the utensils, I mean dishes. I said, I never did that all through my life because I have 5 sisters. And when I got married, she is a wonderful wife. Here is my beloved wife in whom I am well pleased. So, and that night she cooked, we ate, she slept off. I started washing the dishes from 9 onwards. And it was such a huge task. It's going on and on and on. Then I realized one thing, that our maid servant is not being paid properly. She has to be paid high because, and there was some utensils, they took more than half an hour to clean it up. Like, you know, it took long time. Then I said, Lord, where we are ending up, Lord, please take out this COVID so that I can stop washing the utensils. That was my prayer, you know, stop it, Lord, because take it away. I may end up as a maid in the house. So God has been so gracious to us. We have came out of it. And we miss our dear friend Paul Beatty. He comes every year to build churches in India. He has been doing it very faithfully. Today he is there with us. Why don't you give him a big round of applause? You know, appreciate him. He's there. Day before yesterday, we had a nice lunch, dinner. So I think for him coming because of COVID, so many restrictions, but his heart is there. We wish him he should come back there, and he should always be a blessing to Zion Fellowship. And then he said, since I am not coming this time, Mohan, why should not we buy a nice van, bus, a minibus for the ministry? I said, that's wonderful, Paul. We can really use it for the ministry, so that the ministry needs lot of infrastructure to build it and to go further. So we are praying about it. He is very happy to pay the down payment. And let's see how God works out. And God is in control. I always say one thing. If it is God's will, then it is God's bill. You have to see if it is, look at the will of God. And then my visit here has been such a blessing. I've been talking to people. I've been talking to Tim, Harvey, Pastor Allen, and also I went to Katie and Sharon for a high tea. They say it's a high tea, but it's not high tea. It is a bigger tea, So many things were there, and we enjoyed. And we were so thankful to Daniel and Jennifer. They were given a wonderful accommodation to us, and we enjoy their hospitality and love and care. And also, I've been talking to so many people. We went to base yesterday with Kay and Tim, and we had a great time. So, and likewise, we played last night we went to Chris Reich's, played marbles. It was a very intense game, because I don't want to lose it. I want to win the game by any chance, By my side, Jennifer sat, and I said, I was killing her. Holly was killing her. Holly was on my side, and Jeannie was on my side. So we beat them very badly. Who are the losers? It's Alan, Chris, and Jennifer. And we were the winners. So Jennifer said, Mohan, you are staying in my house. How could you kill me? I said, game, we don't want to lose in our lives. We want to end up as winners, actually. Game is just an expression of what is your attitude and your character. That's it. We don't want to lose in our lives. We don't want to end up as losers. And finally, we gave enough sympathy to Alan and Chris and all. Chris has gone little, he has gone crazy at one point of time. I told him, we can move on, Chris. No issues from now. So he said, okay, Mohan, next time. See, whenever you lose a game, you want to win it by any chance. Then he offered, next time when you come, even we will play another game. I said, sure. But next time if you lose, what happens? Another game. So anyway, that's okay. And if I talk about India ministry, I think how many of you know that the Lord's coming is soon now? There are so many instances which you see. Normally we don't realize those things, actually. You don't realize. The nation after nation. Ukraine-Russia war is going on. There was a huge earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Thousands and thousands, they were killed. I mean, the world is going through the pestilence. And you can see all those things happening. One thing God is reminding us, guys, my coming is round the corner. Now, when his coming is round the corner, we need to be focused on what he told us. Not focus on ourselves, but his ministry is the most important thing. And then, when I was just praying about my state of Telangana. We have 40,000 churches in Telangana. And I was laying a vision to them that each month, each church, minimum one soul. So if that happens, each month 40,000 people are getting into the kingdom. And each year, almost 500,000. And 10 years, it's going to be 5 million people, beloved. It is possible. For God, nothing is impossible, beloved. He's a God of impossibles. It is your willingness. Your willingness to work for him, that makes a big difference. So as a church, Zion Fellowship, we want to plant around 3,000 churches in 10 years. My goal is 10 years is the base year for me. From now onwards, 10 years. See, now we have, this year we are completing our 40 years of our marriage wedding anniversary. October 14th is our 40th year. You may ask me, how come Pastor Mohan, you look so young? Do you have a child marriage? No, I am not. It's not a child marriage. It's a normal marriage. But we look young because we die for Jesus Christ, you know. We die. For to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What is gain? You go to heaven, you look young in this world. Two things. And of course, these days, you know what is happening with me? I'm losing some of my hair from backside. I said, Lord, you count every of my hair. So you know how many hair I have lost. But thank you, Lord, because I'm losing from backside, not from the front side. So that I should not look back. What is that God is speaking to me with this action, this situation? Don't look backwards, look front, you know. So you look what is given before you. And we are happy. When I got married to Rani, first season, I always used to think she doesn't know anything. She doesn't know anything. I know everything. That was the first season. Second season, then I realized she knows something. It's not that she doesn't know anything. Now after 40 years, I realized one thing. She knows many things more than me. She knows more than me. So I have come to that conclusion that whenever I need some counsel, I ask her. Now women are always good. How many of you, women are always, they are wise people. How many of you believe that? Only one guy? There was a conference going on. One pastor said, how many of your male men and female men are here in this church? And then, what do you mean by male men and a female man? That means you give up your leadership, then you become a female man. And male men, you run the whole house. And nobody came forward to be a male man. One guy came forward. The pastor was so excited. He said, how only one among so many? Then he said, I don't know what you said, but my wife said, go. Then I came in. And this morning when I was asking, Lord, what is that I can share to this church? Because let me tell you one thing before I share. When I came first here, I gave a prophetic word to this church. You know, what was that prophetic word? This church is an answer to Cabot City. This church will take Cabot City into the presence of God. And there's the manifest presence of this church, in this church, will touch and transform the lives of the people. And also, I know I made this. I'm good at memory. I said, the healings will take place when the worship is on. And people will be healed and delivered even before they are being prayed for. That was the prophetic word. Not only to Cabot, even to the state of Arkansas, people will be coming here, hundreds and thousands, to get a call, get a motivation, get a change in their lives, beloved. So that is what I felt. And I just feel that is going to happen in the days to come. And I just have a great, belief that, you know, this is going to happen through you. People, God has a great plan and a purpose in your lives. So how many of you know what is this one? This one. This is a plumb line, right? This plumb line is used in India. I don't know whether it is used now here, but because the tremendous, many gadgets have come to you. So we still use this because recently we have demolished our house because there was a crack in the foundation. If there is a crack in the wall, you can still rebuild it. But if there's a crack in the foundation, you have to take that, you know, and rebuild it. So this plumb line is to use to straighten the walls, like, you know, the walls are proper or not. Like this, you know, this is what, this is straight. If it is little different, then the wall is leaning to the other side, this side or that side. And then what happens is you have to rebuild it. You have to take that out. Your labor goes vain. If you really go, it's okay, no problem. Still I can build it. I don't want to waste my time. I just can't do it again. It might go differently. How many of you have seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa? It is there. Oh, this is, oh, thank you, Daniel. What is that you have seen in that? Anybody has any idea? It is leaning towards, it is a wonder. It is a place where everybody goes and watches. Hundreds and thousands will go and watch there. How many of you, anybody has seen this? You have seen. Yes, you have seen. Sir, what is your take on that? Not on the right side. Because they feel it might fall on them. They watch for half an hour. They take pictures. And leaning has taken place is, when they built a foundation, the foundation was not properly done. They cannot build like that. It's very difficult to build a leaning one. Slowly lean the other side and it stopped there. So everybody goes there and watches it, and it is a place to watch, a place to see. It's a tourist place, but not a dwelling place. Because this was missing there. This was missing there. If this is missing, you can have a tourist place, but not a dwelling place. Church is a dwelling place. Now, because it is built on the plumb line of Lord Jesus Christ. And this is built on the Word of God. You know, look at the verse from Amos 7 and 9. Then I can just rush through, because I know I have taken some time for introduction. But my word, I will just run through it, because you're all good people. You can just understand what I said. I prayed this morning, Lord, I make sounds, you make sense. A strong guy, a strong accent from India. Lord, touch their ears, Lord, that every word they can understand better than I speak to them. So, you know what? Let's read that passage. If anybody, Amos chapter 7, verse 7 to 8 and even 9. I'll go up to 8. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? Then I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people. I will not pass by them anymore. If you look at the context of this passage, every time you need to understand one thing, beloved. There is an intent, there is a content, there is a context. What is the intent of we being a Christians? Being transformed into the likeness and image of Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the word in Romans chapter 8 verse 29, the Father, the Lord has predestined us to be transformed into His image. That is the heart of God. Whether you are a pastor, whether you are an evangelist, whether you are a believer, whether you are a leader, all of us, what is the intention of God? Look at that scripture. The intention is that, you know, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He predestined all of us to be conformed to the image of his son. That is what God has decided, yes, before we are born. That one day we should look like Him. We should behave like Him. We should walk like Him. It is for every one of us. That is the heart of God for us. So, the content for our life is the Word of God. The intent is to be transformed. The context, you know, our life, application of the Word. Application of the Word. You know, when Solomon asked God, Lord, I need wisdom to rule this your people. They are precious. You know what God gave Solomon? God gave three things to Solomon. One is knowledge. Knowledge means information. You read the word, you take that. The information should come to you as a revelation. Once it comes to you as a revelation, it will manifest in your life. If you only take it as an information, it will frustrate you. So, and not only God gave Solomon knowledge, but also He gave him understanding. What do you mean by understanding? Understanding is evaluating what I said. Some of my words you could not understand. You try to get it. Once you take the word, if you receive the word, you try to evaluate the word. How far this word is according to the word of God? How far this is right to me? So that is evaluation. And the third thing is, it is wisdom. It's application. It's application, beloved. See, this application is the most important in our Christian life. That's what Jesus said. If anybody hears my word, builds his house, he's like a man built, he's building his house on the rock. If anybody just hears and does not do accordingly, he's also building a house, but it is not on the rock. It is on the sand. When the storm comes, you know what will happen? The house cannot stand. It looks like a house, just normal, unless the storm hits the house. Otherwise, it will be just like normal house. You know, I always get scared by one thought in my life. When Jesus was on this earth, He has 12 disciples. And among 12 disciples, there was Judas Iscariot. You know, for 3.5 years, he was with Jesus. He has got the best of the teaching, the best of the miracles he has seen. In fact, he was released into the miracle ministry. He was sent by Jesus to do signs, wonders, even to raise the dead. That was the calling that was there. But after 3.5 years, what was lacking in Judas Iscariot? The wisdom to apply the word into his life. That scares me. Lord, as a pastor, if I don't apply your word into my life, I end up as a preacher. Not being transformed into your likeness and your image. That is the problem. So always I say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. Because I want to apply every of your word into my life. No, even it hurts me, it doesn't matter. My everyday prayer, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. Even if it hurts me. That is my take on that. Sometimes we want a comfortable life. We want everybody should appreciate us. Everybody will not appreciate you. There will be some where it might not go well with you. It's okay. But let His will be done, beloved. So, let me come back to the plumb line. When God asked, what do you see, Amos? He said, I am seeing a plumb line. God always speaks to us through something what we can see. When God was speaking to, you know, Moses, he was speaking to him in a burning bush. What do you mean by that burning bush? That Moses, all through your life, you should live like a burning bush. You should be like a burning bush that people could see that when you are having that burning inside of you. The burning, the zeal for his will. And then he spoke to Abraham. What did you see, Abraham? The stars in the night, sand in the morning. So what was the intention of God? God wanted Abraham to see the vision what he has given to him. Walked by the vision. In the morning, the sand. In the night, the stars. This is what I'm going to do to you. Let me tell you guys, for Grace Fellowship, what God is going to do to you, you see that happening. I have seen that happening in my spirit, in the spirit realm, that this church is going to be a great, you know, impacting church in the city of Cabot. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Give the Lord a big round of applause if you believe that. And then he said, I'll keep the plumb line in my people. Now, who is the plumb line? Christ is the plumb line for us. Now, if you look at his life, let me go fast. If you look at his life, what was, you know, he doing at the age of 12? At the age of 12, he went into the temple. You know, the Jewish culture, a boy who is of 12 years of age, he is responsible for all that what he has done, he is doing. So he said, he realized his responsibility. In those days, what happens was, when the people come for Passover from distant places, what they do is, the men will be going around the city, the women will go ahead of them, prepare food for them. In the process, there was a miscommunication that took place. Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph. Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary. In the process, he ended up in the temple talking to the teachers, the scribes. Then when they came and asked him, he said, do you know that I am in my father's business? Now, what is our children doing? Teach them when they were young. Train them when they were young. Every house is a church. Every house should enjoy the presence of God. Every house, the plumb line is the word of God. That's it. I have five grandchildren and 6 is on the way. So my older grandchild, Caleb, his name is Caleb, you know, when he asked his dad, Dad, can you employ me? Dad said, no, I can't employ you because it's qualification. I said, Caleb, I employ you. I give you 1,000 rupees every month. So what is the job? The job is every Saturday, you should come to me, you know, come to me for 1 hour, and half hour, we'll go for a Bible study. Half hour, we pray for our families. He said, Grandpa, it's okay with me. I'll come. So every month I'm paying him 1,000 rupees. He comes to me. And one day I asked him, what is the favorite, piece of, word for you? He said, Grandpa, I like 10 commandments. Oh, come on, let's go from a start with 10 commandments. Then I told him, you know, the 4th commandment? It's a commandment with a promise. If you honor your parents, that all may go well with you and you will have a long life on the earth. Not with diseases, with good health. Long life on the earth. And if you disobey your parents, you will be out of the fence. If you obey, you are in the fence. Then you will be protected. You know what he said immediately? Grandpa, Nishka is his sister. I see Nishka is out of the fence. I said, how come? How come she's out of the fence? You are in the fence. This morning, I saw her disobeying mama. Then I realized, when you say that, I can realize that she's out of the fence. Teach your young children. Jesus is a plumb line role model to the young children at the age of 12. You know, if you want to be qualified to be a rabbi, you need to memorize Torah, the first five books. Jesus spent hours and hours memorizing Torah. So that is the yardstick, that is the standard for us, beloved. And then if you look at the, you know, when you know the story, I don't want to pick up everything, but few things I want to share. When he has become 30-year-old, he took baptism. And he came out, and Father God said, here is my beloved son, the Huios, the grown-up, my replica, in whom I am well pleased. Then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who is leading him to be tempted? The Spirit of God leading him to be tempted. For 40 years he did not eat, 40 days and 40 nights he did not eat, and he was hungry. And he came out, the first thing the devil says, if you are, in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, if you are a son of God, if you are a son of God, you turn these stones into bread. That's what happened. And that is, if you look at the situation there, he was hungry, that is a fact. And there were stones, it was a fact. There was no food, it was a fact. The situation was adverse. But the devil was questioning the identity of Jesus. If you are a son of God, if you are a son of God, every time, beloved, let me tell you, the devil comes and questions your identity in Christ. Are you loved by the Lord? If you are loved by the Lord, why this situation? Why this adverse condition? Why this is happening to me? Why I am going through this trouble? Every time the devil says, if you are a son of God, why these things are happening to you? The devil will always try to question our identity with Jesus Christ. That's what. Once you lose that identity, then you are in trouble. That's why when Moses, he was in the wilderness for 40 years. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep. He doesn't have of his own. When he got a son, Gershom, you know what did he say? I'm a stranger in a foreign land. He was losing his identity. When God called him, encountered him, you know what the words say, what he said? Who am I? Who am I? For 40 years, God did not speak to him even a single word, if you look at the Bible. But God was in his life, beloved. In silent, God is working in his life. Sometimes you feel that you are just left it like that. But let me assure you, God is at work in your life. Even now, at any given time. So what Jesus said, what did he say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It is written, man shall not live by the word, but just by the bread alone. He said, devil, 40 days back, when I came out after having baptism, standing on the banks of River Jordan, my father gave a word to me. Here is my beloved son. I go by that word, not by the situation. Today, this is my challenge to grace. Don't go by the situation what you face now, what you are going through now. Go by the promise of God, what he has given to you. That is the truth. Let me tell you, every time, the truth will overpower the fact. The truth will overpower the fact, because truth carries the promise of God. That's why Jesus said, you know, I need not live just by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of my God. Hallelujah. This is a word for you, Grace. You will see the best of the days. There is a revival that is going to taking place. It is not by a man. It is by the Spirit of God. Because He is the one who does these things, beloved. And also, let me tell you another few things. And then, he said it is written. Let me tell you, today you have to, whenever you have a problem, you should always say that it is written for me. It is written. What is that it is written? If you look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, what is written? They overcame Him. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. That is what is written. For whom it is written? It is written for you. You are the overcomer. You will overcome every situation in your life, what you are facing right now. Today it looks little difficult, but God will take you to the place, beloved. That is what the word for you this morning. And also I want to share a few things. You know, then Jesus, when He was talking to the woman at the well, you know what she said to the disciples? My priority, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. What is your food now? I have been going to so many places now. I was in Carlton's, I was in this. Yesterday we had Chick-fil-A. Everywhere, all the good food we are eating, junk food we are eating. Sometimes it is giving some trouble here, but that's okay. You know, but still, what is the food you have? What is the food you feel that doing the will of Him who sent me, doing the will of Him? You know, let me tell you a story that is in the Bible. When Jesus was in this earth, He ministered to millions. He ministered to millions of people. He touched and transformed their lives. That's there. And then He has 70 disciples and He gave him the authority. And with one word of offense, offense is very difficult, beloved. With one word of offense, they were hurt and they left. And Jesus was looking at His 12 disciples. Do you want to go? That was very scary to me. Jesus, I thought Jesus would have said, guys, you don't go because you be with me because we have to do some good work. He said, do you want to go? He said, Peter said, no. You are a man having words of life. We will not leave you. 12 disciples. They have seen all the miracles, most of the miracles. Walking on the water. You know the things. And then there were 3 disciples who were in the inner circle. They have seen the transfiguration. They have seen the Garden of Gethsemane. They have seen all that. But there was only one guy who was at the cross, beloved. Out of all these people, only one guy, that is John the Apostle, standing at the cross, defying His death. If He was seen there, they could have crucified Him also, because being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know why that happened? Can you imagine? Because He was close to His heart. He was on His bosom, hearing the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, I want to do Your will in my life. If it costs my life, it doesn't matter. In India, things are different now. Very different. I can tell you many, many stories. But one thing I can say, my prayer is, Lord, if it costs my life to glorify Your name, it's okay. End of the day, that's what the will of the Father, if it is. Otherwise, wonderful. So, that is what, beloved. I just want this, the hurts. Hurt is, the 70 disciples were hurt. They left. And when I talk about hurt, I want to tell you a story of my own. When I was about to come to US, not now, few years back, I was playing cricket. Was playing cricket, and I was hurt my hand. My hand was hurt. So then, what I did was, what do I do now? I have to travel with this bandage. I was keeping my hand behind me. I don't want that people should see my hurt. Let me tell you, when you are hurt, you don't allow people to touch it. Don't touch that area. Any area you can talk, not that area. Don't touch that place. Any area you can touch. That is what the hurt is all about. Am I right or wrong? Yes? Say yes if I am right, you know. I want to make a confirmation. So I was hurt. Put my hand behind. And I was standing in the line before the check-in counter. And one girl came to me and she said, "Sir, it seems you are hurt." "Yeah, I'm hurt. I'm hurt." Yeah, it's okay. It's a small thing." "No, no, no. It looks big." "Oh, yeah, it's okay. It's okay." "No, no, no. What I'm trying to tell you is, since you are hurt, you will be given an extra facility not to stand in the line." Then I said, "Wow, this is a great opportunity." Then instead of keeping my hand behind, I started showing it. Because this is taking me to places now. Everybody was saying, "Ah, oh, I like that sound. Ah, well, how it happened?" Then I used to tell, "I'm a cricket player." Like, you know, it speaks about my own self. Then things have went wrong. I was hurt. Then I thought, let me take the best of the opportunity of this hurt now. I went and told them, "See, I want a nice seat so that people should not come and hurt my hand." "But don't worry, sir. We'll give you the best of the seat, the window seat, the best seat." They gave me the best seat. Like, you know. Then almost all the air hostess, the flight attendants, girls, they were coming and asking me, "How are you, sir? Anything you want, sir?" I was enjoying that situation. Like, everybody's, I'm like a VIP now. Everybody's coming, want to give all those things. Finally, I landed here to one of my place in Corpus Christi. And I was with the pastor. And we have a doctor there. He said, "Pastor Mohan, you cannot keep it like this for a long time. It might get some infection." "Oh, if that is the case, take me out." Sunday, first service, I preached the word. Nice word without my thing. There was one girl came there. You know, everybody comes and appreciates you when you preach. And she came and she said, she just took my hand, the hurt hand, the hand which was hurt without bandage. She doesn't know that. She said, "Pastor, that was a great word." She was pressing my hand. It was paining so much. But I felt, if a girl squeezes my hand, if I make a scream, it doesn't look good. It's a man thing. How can I say, "Oh, no, 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 no." I can't say. I just, you know what? I went to the hell and came back. That was the amount of the pain. Then I told Pastor Don, my friend, I said, "Pastor, I cannot do like this next time. It's okay with a girl. If a man squeezes my hand, he will always break my hand." So I put the bandage. The second service, the Lord, God told me one thing. "Mohan, let me tell you this. You can live with the hurt for a season, for a day, for a season, but not for a lifetime. You cannot go to the grave with this hurt. Leave it. You cannot entertain that hurt because some people will feed to your hurt. Shrug it off. Because my purpose is greater than your hurts." When Ezekiel's wife dies, on the third day he said, "Come on, come to the ministry. Because my purposes are greater than your hurts," says the Lord. Leave it. Then I said, "Lord, thank you." Because the Holy Spirit God, who is a comforter to the believers, is a convictor to the world outside. What do you mean by comfort? It's a military term. Here's a military term. Come and forte, come and attack. The translators, by some reason, because of the situations, they translated in a passive voice, not aggressive, active voice. But Holy Spirit God is active. Let me tell you, let the whole hell comes and stand before Him, He can still brush them out. That is the power of the Holy Spirit God. You know, can you compare Him with the devil? Let me compare Him with the devil. If He is like a giant, the devil is like an ant. He's a giant, devil is like, he can snatch it anytime. That is the power of the Holy Ghost, beloved. So I just want to encourage you. He will strengthen you from inside out. For a season you might have a hurt, but he will make you a warrior for the battlefield. And then Jesus, He had a process, the process of His life. What was the process? Like any man, like any of the people, He went through the process. He was willing to go by the process. He humbled Himself. He was with His disciples. If you look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, when He was in the flesh, He prayed. He prayed and with supplications, with vehement cries. The Bible, I mean, in Gospels it is not said, but Hebrews it is said that, you know, it is, He cried vehemently, the one who will save Him from the death. Because He was accepted because of His godly fear. When Jesus was in the flesh, He was crying unto His Father who can save Him from His death. What about you and me? He was willing to go through the process, beloved. And you know, when He was at the cross, in the process of being crucified, what was the process took place? The devil was trying to, you know, put Him in the pressure, to take His peace out of Him. What did the devil say? It was trying in every possible way. At the Garden of Gethsemane, He was crying unto Father because He knew that what is going to come. He said, Father, if it is Thy will, take this out of this cup out of me. If it is possible, but Thy will be done. Why did Jesus pray like that? Because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And you know, His blood drops came and they have come out from His body. You know, if you are a doctor, you know that. Katie, you know that. If you are a doctor, what happens? When you're really frustrated, when you have the BP goes off, what happens? Everything will go out. And then the blood comes out. The pores, the blood will come out. The water evaporates. And the first drop of blood of Jesus was on the Garden of Gethsemane, beloved. That was His pressure. But then He decided, Lord, even if it is hurting me, I will take this. And the devil tried to, who has beaten you? Who has done this and that and all? Then finally, the Roman soldiers, 400 soldiers, they were putting spit on Him. He was bathed in the spit of those 400 Roman soldiers. And he was beaten, walked, all those things have happened. You know the story. But what was there? He was holding His peace, beloved. He was holding His peace. Because if he's get tensed up, how can He give peace to us? Because what you have, you can give. What you don't have, you cannot give. That's what Peter said. We don't have silver and gold, but we have the name of Jesus. We give to you. That's what you have, you can give. What you don't have, you cannot give. If your life is mess, God can turn into a message and He can give the message to people. But you cannot give a mess to the people outside. Allow God to turn that as a message, beloved. And Jesus has gone through all that. Even on the cross of Calvary, he was just asking them, forgive them for what they do not know. After the resurrection, you know what happened? Jesus said to these disciples, my peace I am giving to you. My peace I am giving to you. What was he holding in the whole of this ordeal? He was holding his peace. Today to grace I am saying, I am just encouraging you. There is a plumb line. It is written, there is no other word except the word of God. There is no leaning to right or left except to the word of God. Who is your plumb line? Christ is your plumb line. At the age of 12, he was in the house of God. At the age of 12, when he was in the trouble, he was telling David, I live by the promise of God, not by the situation. When he was having the 12 of his disciples, Jesus said, I am the way. But who was the way to Jesus to the cross? It was Judas Iscariot. And if anybody has gone through the strictest of in the process scanning, it was Jesus Christ. How can you live with your enemy, with the one who betrays you for 3.5 years? You cannot do that. I was praying, Lord, if that comes to my life, I might take for 1 week, but not for 3.5 years. How can you live it? He was loving Judas. He was praying for him. He was given responsibility to him. All that he has done, beloved. So today, Christ is the plumb line for us. He is the role model for us. Not shift right side or left side. Only to the word of God. Only to the Christ who has given us this greater vision to complete and fulfill. We can go through the process. It's okay. The process is always painful. For Joseph, the process was painful. When God gave him a dream, it's not, his brothers were not killed, not to kill him, but they want to kill his dream, beloved. Grace has a dream and a vision. And it's my prayer that grace will, the people will come back and have a greater revival in this place. Love people. Talk to them. Bless them. And you know, they are our precious people. Be with them. Pray for them. That God will have an encounter. And they can be a great part of this wonderful revival, beloved. Don't allow the dream to be taken out from you. The brothers said, sell him to the Egyptians. Because if you are a slave, you are as good as dead. The brothers thought, let us kill his dream. That's it. But this morning, I just want to encourage you. Each one of you are sitting here, you are in the plan and purpose of God. You are called by God and anointed by God. And you have a great purpose, beloved. Allow God to work in your life. Let Jesus Christ be the plumb line of your life. Let the word of God be the plumb line of your life. Not your humanity, not anything out of it. Anything out of it is not right. Everything should be in line with the word of God. That's what I want to share. Shall we stand in his presence? Shall we stand in his presence this morning? Father, we come to your throne of grace, Lord God. Jesus Christ was a role model, Lord, for us. A plumb line so that we can always take a measure where we are. What is our life? Where we are going, Lord. Even from his childhood, Lord. He has shown the servant leadership, Lord. He washed the feet of his disciples. The least of the job he has done to show them leadership is a servant leadership. Lord has said, my food is to do the will of my Father, the one who sent. Lord, we pray, Lord God, even when you are going through the cross, you held your peace, Lord God. Give us that grace, my God. The grace to hold the peace in the calamities so that we can come out absolutely as the overcomers, Lord God. It is written for our lives that we will overcome every situation in our lives, Lord God. Let this word bear fruit in the lives of these dear ones, Lord. Let there be a powerful revival that takes place in Grace Fellowship, Lord God. Mighty young people will come up from this place, Lord. Not only just to Cabot, not only just to Arkansas, to the nation of this America, Lord God, and to the nations of the world. Touch and transform their lives, my God. Let there be a great revival coming up. What you see, I see a revival, Lord. I see hundreds and thousands are coming and worshiping the Lord. Let that vision come to pass in our lives, Lord God. We walk by the vision. We live by the vision. We see that the vision is completed in our lifetime, Lord. We just come to the throne of grace, Lord God. Let this word bear fruit in the lives of your dear ones. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much, guys, for giving me this opportunity.